Welcome to the Tool Shed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, we're here to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
Welcome in to another episode of the Tool Shed with Clegg and Cross, brought to you by RotoBaller. This is episode 321. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Eric Cross. And with me, as usual, is my 80 gray co-host, Mr. Chris Clegg. Chris, how's it going, bud?
It is good. It's another week, another day in paradise, man. So can't believe we're almost at the all-star break in the draft, but here we are. And it's go time. We're hitting the second half of the season, and yeah, I just really can't believe how quick it's gone.
I know, like the draft is like a week away. We're already, teams have played in the vicinity of 90 games, give or take. So yeah, more of the season's in the rearview mirror than in front of us. It's crazy. It's already almost mid-July. I was just thinking, my kids have already been out of school for like a month now almost. And so next thing I know, it'll be school will be starting back up and we'll be in the, you know, in pennant races and stuff like that. So it's crazy how quickly it goes. And it's very, very crazy how much time flies. That's a top topic for another day. But today's topic is going to be pitching prospects and more pitching prospects. As people know, we've been doing the three up, three down on every Monday episode. This one's Tuesday because I was having some computer issues yesterday and had to go into work super early on Monday. So decided to bump it to a Monday night recording. But on the early episode of the week, we always do the three up, three down. And this week we are going to do pitching prospects. And there's just so many names. We just decided to just do a whole episode on pitching prospect risers and fallers right now. So we got around a dozen names total, pretty split between risers and fallers. But before we get into that, the usual housekeeping, you can find us on Twitter. Chris is at RotoClegg. I am at EricCross04. Show is at ToolShedPod. If you enjoy this podcast, please rate and review. Make sure to check out both of our personal platforms, thedynastydugout.com and ToolShedFantasy.com for more work from each of us, including all of our Dynasty and Prospect rankings. And of course, check out all the great things going on over at RotoBaller. Use that code TOOLSHED to get you 10% off any premium package over at RotoBaller.com. So even if you're checking out from baseball or don't want to purchase a premium solution for baseball, though I highly recommend it, you want to start getting your football prep done, there's a lot of great football content on RotoBaller as well. So again, code TOOLSHED, 10% off at checkout. All right, so let's start with the risers here. We got eight names here, starting with Emiliano Teodo, who we both saw last year in the AFL, and it was definitely something out there in that one inning. Or I don't even, can't remember if he even lasted an inning. Maybe it was two-thirds of an inning. But Teodo has been red hot of late. Over the last month in Double-A, 24 and two-thirds innings, 1.09 ERA, 1.01 WHIP, 43 strikeouts to 10 walks. You know, walks have still been a little bit of an issue for him this season. Walk rate remains over 10%, though it has come down slightly this year compared to last year. But, Chris, I think the story on Teodo is still the same. There's a ton of upside here. And obviously, he throws incredibly. I mean, he can hit triple digits. He's got a big breaker, but this, he's struggled to establish a legitimate third offering that he can use consistently. And the command and control of this kind of come and gone. You'll see like a handful of starts where it looks a little better, then reverts back to his old ways for a few starts. So still very much up and down for Teodo, but one of the more exciting pitching prospects in the minor leagues without question. Given what you've seen from him this year, kind of where are you valuing him right now? Is he still someone you'd want to invest in? Think he can figure out the command and control issues? Think he's a bullpen arm long term? Where are you at?
He's about as electric as they get. He's a ton of fun. Obviously, we saw him in bullpen role in the AFL, and I thought that was the closing of the chapter of him as a starter. Yeah. I saw him start several times with Hickory last year, and then when they threw him in the bullpen in the AFL, I was like, okay, like they're just going to continue to roll him out as a reliever. And honestly, if they had done that, he's probably in the majors already. I think that the stuff is that good where he could step in and pitch in the major league bullpen right now. It's interesting to look at and see because the strike throwing has improved this year. He's sitting right around league average strike rate wise. Obviously, the walks are a little higher, misses a ton of bats, fastball, you know, triple digits pretty regularly. It's a wipeout slider in the upper 80s, touches 90. Though he'll throw a changeup at times, 92 to 94, which is just ridiculous. Yeah, I think that at this point, they are showing they want to continue to develop him as a starter, and he's responded well. Obviously, you look in 14 starts this year, it's 1.71 ERA, 89 strikeouts in 68 innings, which is highly impressive. And yeah, is he going deep into every game? No, he's not, but that's okay. We're still seeing him average close to 5 innings per outing. And you even think, like, his first outing of the year, it was just 2 2/3, and he allowed 4 earned with 3 walks. And after that, he's had just 3 outings. I'm getting dyslexic over here reading this, apparently. He's had 2 outings since the first one when he's allowed at least 2 earned runs, and that's just a total of 2 in each of those starts. And then the other one's this 1 or 0. So you take out that first start, and it's even better. And it's hard to get much better than those numbers actually are. But that just goes to show you that he has really responded, I think. And does he pitch in the majors this year? I think it's highly possible. Do they skip him over the PCL? I think that, yeah, I'm not ruling that out at all. He's 23. He's got the experience. I'm not sure he needs to go to AAA in the PCL, where it's just a hitter's haven. He's almost over, or he's well past the innings last year. He had 61 innings last year, which obviously he got more in the AFL, 68 right now. I think he can handle the workload. I think that he's coming around. The walk rates are identical season long, but they have gotten better. So I'm conflicted. Is he a starter or a reliever? You know, I don't think it matters. I think that if you roster Emiliano Teodo, you're going to have either a really fun starter that may be volatile, or you're going to get a really solid back end reliever that offers a lot. I think that I'm trying to get him anywhere I can at this point, because I really believe in this profile.
Yeah, I think there's potential to be an elite, like, top 10 fantasy reliever if they go that route. And I am surprised too. I thought I was right with you once we saw him in relief last year, and just given what we had seen even before that, I thought it was, all right, this is like a 90% chance this guy's going to be a reliever. And here we are several months later, and he's still starting every single time out there for Texas. So I still want to say he's a reliever long term, but I do agree that there's multiple paths to fantasy value here. If he's a starter, he's probably going to be one that has a higher K rate. The whip's probably going to be higher with him as well, and inconsistent start to start. But at least the strikeouts will be there. And then if they do go to reliever route, whether it's this later this year, probably won't be this year, down the road, potential for absolutely elite fantasy arm, given the fastball slider combination that is just a truly 70 plus grade fastball and a wipeout slider. So we'll see. But yeah, definitely a name on the rise right now. And next name here, similar a little bit, and that's Jarlene Susana with the Washington Nationals, came over from the Padres as one of the pieces in the Juan Soto return 2 years ago. Still only 20 years old. Feels like he should be older than that, but just turned 20 back right before the season started in late March. He's repeating the low A level with Fredericksburg after 17 starts last year. We had ERA over 5. This year, ERA is down to 4.47 and 14 starts at the level. Walk rates dropped about 2%, still a little bit over 12%, so still pretty high. But over the last 30 days, Susana, 25 innings, only allowed 2 earned runs, 0.72 ERA, 0.88 whip, 40 strikeouts, and 10 walks in those 25 innings. You got to imagine, Chris, he's probably due for a bump up to high A pretty soon, especially with how he's been pitching of late. I don't think the upside's quite as high with him when compared to Teodo, but Susana is another kind of one of these fun arms if they can get the command and control right. How much confidence do you have in that happening with Susana?
He did get the call, so his next start will be in high A.
Oh, I completely missed that.
Yeah, so this week he will make his first high start, which is, he, like you said, it was well past due at this point. He spent, you know, all of last year in single A, and it was a mixed bag. But then this year, like, he continued to, you know, get better. And so it was well past time for him to be in high A for a new challenge. And I think that we'll really see how he responds. And he's pitching on Tuesday. So you're listening to this on Tuesday. He will make his first high A start with Wilmington. So we're looking forward to that and seeing how he performs. It's interesting because Susana has been electric as of late. He is throwing way more strikes, and he's actually throwing the ball even harder, as his average fastball velo is up over the last month, sitting near 100, which we know he touches triple digits regularly, but he's averaging that now, which is pretty wild to see. And the strike rate, well above league, I'll say well above league average, just above league average right now. And I think that's a huge positive sign. But it's gotten better, as he has obviously been on this really hot streak where, you know, you look at the last month of time and he's throwing strikes over 65% of the time, which that's pretty notable for a pitcher like Yarlin Susana, because we have seen some struggles with control at times. And yeah, you look at the surface right now, walk rate of 12.3%. Maybe you can go out and get him in a league because people say, oh man, still walking way too many batters. He's got a 1.37 whip on the year. And maybe they don't realize how good he has been and that he's really turned the corner. He has consistently been throwing five innings. And two starts ago, June 27th, it was his first start in which, in his career, which he had completed five innings and he did not walk a batter, which is substantial. So I think that, you know, you saw some of the bad early in the year. And yeah, you're going to hit some rough stretches, I think, just knowing the kind of pitcher that he is. But if you go back, May 31st, he started this streak. He's allowed just two earned runs since May 31st. That's 30 innings. That's a 0.6 ERA, 49 strikeouts to 11 walks. That's huge. That walk rate's under 10%. That's a 44% strikeout rate. So Susana's doing everything that you want to see. The slider's elite. The fastball velo's elite. He'll mix in a change and curve. I'll actually get him at the end of July, which I'm looking forward to. Wilmington will be in Greenville. It is the only team in the North Division that's coming down here, which is annoying. But we'll get Wilmington, which they didn't have much at all. But now at least we'll get to see Susana. I did see Susana last year as well when Fredericksburg played in Columbia. But I do think that this is a different pitcher at this point, looking a year later at this point, and he looks like he's turned the corner. So I'm certainly in on Yarlin Susana. I think that he has made some tweaks, and I think that it's working. So I'm buying in right now, and I would suggest doing so if you can.
Yeah, and people were, like, back in 2022, when he pitched mostly in rookie ball, had a couple starts with Fredericksburg at the end of that season. He was one of the kind of buzzier, lower-level prospects, at least on the pitching side that year. And then last year, I think that 5.14 ERA kind of cooled the jets a little bit in terms of that hype. But, yeah, still a very fun arm. Got at least two-plus pitches, Cotto, that he can fall back on, even if he has to go to the bullpen down the road, which I don't think is like a high likelihood. Maybe it's 50-50. We'll see. But at least he has that to fall back on, where he could be a pretty good reliever as well. So, yeah, it's kind of saying there's some similarities here between the two of them. But, yeah, definitely a fun arm on the rise. Next arm here, a little bit different. but Bubba Chandler, next Pittsburgh Pirates, big rising pitching prospect here. They've been doing a great job on the pitching side over the last handful of years. And over the last month, Chandler has a 2.25 ERA and 0.68 whip for AA, with three walks and 37 strikeouts in 28 innings on the season. 3.65 ERA. He's going to start the season a little bit higher ERA, but that's really come down lately. In 61 and two-thirds innings, whips only 1.04, 75 strikeouts to 22 walks. So, you know, keeping the walk rate in check. Last year it was over 10%. This year it's down to 8.9%, which is solid. And he's still striking out a good amount of batters, 30.4% there with Bubba Chandler. And like I said, Chris, is another Pittsburgh Pirates pitching prospect here. Again, not the similar mold to Chandler and I mean to Susanna and Teodo, but really good three pitch mix here. The fastball, slider, and changeup all could be above average or plus offerings. And I have a lot of faith in Pittsburgh's, you know, pitching development right now with what we've seen in the last several years. Yeah, Chandler is a top 100 guy and definitely in that top 10 pitching prospect discussion right now for sure.
Yeah, he's certainly looked the part and he flashed it. He flashes it a lot. He flashed it last year several times when Greensboro was in Greenville. I got to see him and how electric he could be. The fastball, it jumps. He's got electric arm speed. He sells the changeup well. The fastball sits 96 to 98, which is quite impressive. It's elite ride. Last year it was 18, 19 inches of vert. He would touch 20 on the IVB scale, and he's even seen that improve this year, which is crazy. And now he's sitting 97 to 99, which is substantial. The slider is very good pitch. It's a ton of horizontal movement. It's in the upper 80s, which I look at, and I think it plays really well with his changeup too. They get a ton of horizontal separation. They are in a similar like velocity band, like the 87 to 90 mile an hour range, but the changeup gets heavy fade, and the slider, 17 inches of sweep, is, you know, absolutely elite. And the strike throwing with Chandler, like we've talked about three guys so far that have struggled with strike throwing at points in their career. Yet I look at Bubba Chandler right now and I see a 65% strike rate. That's obviously substantial. I look over the last month or so and it's gotten even better. He is near 70% strikes over the last month, which is really unfathomable when you look at that kind of profile that he has, but he's looked so, so good. And I think that he's making an argument to be in that top tier of pitching prospects. It's just, can he do it consistently? And if he does, then yeah, I think that he can certainly make that push up to where he is in that top tier.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's definitely in tier two right now. And that top tier isn't as like daunting as it has been the last, you know, few years. Yeah. I love Jackson Job. Andrew Painter's there, obviously Cade Horton, Noah Schultz, but Paul Skene just graduated. He was tier one. Joe's missed some time this year. Obviously Painter's out right now. Horton's missed a little bit of time and hasn't been quite as good as he was last year. So that top tier isn't quite as, you know, far off from tier two as maybe it was the last few years. So yeah, Chandler absolutely could join that tier as well. Yeah, but he's been very impressive and probably see him maybe not this year, but probably by this time next year up in Pittsburgh for sure. Maybe out of camp or something like that. Just adding another good pitching, you know, pitcher to that rotation. Next name here, we'll go over to the New York Mets with Jonah Tong, a 21-year-old who has just been absolutely lights out this year. 2.17 ERA across 66 and a third innings, right between low A and high A. Most of that's in high A. And over the last 30 days, 26 innings, 2.42 ERA, 1.00 WHIP, 36 strikeouts to 10 walks. And we could talk about Brendan Sproat here as well, but he's another one on the rise in this Met system. But we'll focus on Jonah Tong. And another one that's had some strike throwing issues, look at just last year, 21 innings, 22 walks. So he had a 22% walk rate last year, although he did strike out 38% of batters last year as well. This year, it's still a little over 10%, 10.3, but definitely much better than 22%. And he's still striking out a ton of batters this year, 36.3%, and he's doing a lot of things well here. He's probably going to get the bump to double A before the end of the season, I got to imagine. Another big fastball here, with Jonah Tong as well. Chris, how high do you think Tong's going to rise here? I think he's not quite as highly ranked as the guys like Bubba Chandler, but this is another guy that should be at least be in the top 100 overall discussion, and another guy that could be in that top 10 pitching prospect discussion by end of the year as well.
Yeah, he's obviously been really good. I'm generally a little lower on Tong than most, and I actually think that Sproat's by far the significant or the better pitching prospect between the two. But that's not to say that Tong hasn't been good and isn't a good pitcher, because he is. And after some bumps when he first bumped up to high A, he's really settled in nicely. And you mentioned it, the last month or so has been really good. Striking guys out. It's a, elite riding fastball. He's a little bit smaller, and it's a interesting delivery, which I think is a tad concerning. It's like, how will this delivery work? And that's been my question. That's the question that that scouts I've talked to that have seen him have also had, is can this work? But you can't argue the results when the fastball is sitting closer to 93 to 95. Like it can work 90 to 93. It can work 93 to 95. Got a mixed bag with what you get start to start from him, but still, he's touching 96 now. It's great ride. It's really good, vertical movement on that pitch, and he's going to miss bats with it. Like, in the end of the day, it's a really good pitch. He'll throw a curveball. It's a 12-6 type shape. It's a lot slower. He'll throw a slider in as well. His arm slot doesn't really allow for a good changeup because it's just really funky. You just have to watch him, and you can see, like, it's really hard for him to actually throw a changeup. But I think the question is, can his body sustain a starter's workload? And that's been my question about Tong, and can the mechanics hold up and work? I like him. I think that you have to argue that he is top 100. He's right there in that fringy top 100 range for me. Is he in? Is he not? And I know I'm lower on the most, but you can't argue the results. He's been really good so far. And I think that for a young 21-year-old, just turned 21, it's pretty dang good what he's doing.
So you're not singing the Tong song is what you're saying right now?
Not quite.
I was trying to figure out a way to fit that in and make it work, and that's the best I got right now. But yeah, I think I definitely have Sproat ranked, I think probably 75 to 80 spots higher. I think Sproat's back at top 100 for me. And I think I still have Tong in the 150 range or so. I probably need to bump that up a little bit. But yeah, Sproat, if you got to go out there and get one of these two Mets pitching prospects, I definitely would recommend going after Sproat than Tong. Both are decent investments right now. But yeah, Tong's a little on the slider side, smaller frame. I think he's 6'6", 6'1", but just small 6'1". And not like a really sturdy frame. So that's definitely a question mark for sure. Next player here. Going Jackson Ferris of the Los Angeles Dodgers, came over from the Chicago Cubs last year in the Michael Busch trade. 20 years old, about 20 and a half right now. I'll turn 21 next January. First season with the Dodgers. It's been up and down. He's got 4.29 ERA overall, but pitching much better of late. Over the last 30 days, Ferris has a 3 ERA, 0.96 whip, and 34 strikeouts to 8 walks, which is the big thing with him. He has really good stuff. He's got 2 breaking, but he has a really good feel for spin. He got 2 really good breaking balls, a good fastball as well. But as the common theme here in this episode has been these exciting young arms that have had some trouble throwing strikes, some trouble commanding their good stuff. And that was the case with Ferris, but that's why I was so excited to get him into the Dodgers org, because Dodgers have been obviously one of the best player development organizations in baseball for a while now, especially on the hitting side, the pitching side, all the good pitchers they've had and developed over the last decade or so. Just to see that walk rate come down, he's only got 1 walk in his last 3 outings, and that's 13 and two-thirds innings. And then he had a 4 starts ago and 5 walks and 5 1/3. But if you go back, so let's go back to this one here. So the last 8 starts for Jackson Ferris, which is 39 1/3 innings, he's got 13 walks, which equates to just an 8.3% walk rate. So that's really encouraging to see that walk rate come down. Obviously, the stuff, as I mentioned, is electric. He's got plenty of upside here. Another guy that is going to be top 100 soon if he's not already. I don't think he's quite there yet, but if this continues, what we've seen from him over the last 6-7 weeks or so with this improved strike throwing, I think he's definitely going to keep rising up in a hurry. I love Jackson Ferris. I've been talking about him as a target for a while now, and yeah, the hype is starting to rise. So go out and get Jaxon Ferris before that price tag rises even more than it already has.
Yeah, Ferris is legit. He's really made strides this year. And if you look at the surface, it's okay. He's got a 4.29 ERA, but the FIP and XFIP are both really good at 3.11 and 3.38, which is another reason I don't really care all that much about ERA in the minors, because you know, arms are working on things. And that's certainly the case here, as Ferris is working to develop as a starting pitcher. And he certainly made those strides this year. I think the improved walk rates are substantial. Two outings ago, he threw just two thirds of an inning, and he didn't walk a batter. But he did not walk a batter over seven in his most recent start, in which he struck out 11. He's had a five walk start. He's at a six walk start, but overall, I think the command has been pretty solid of his pitches, and the strike throwing too has been round league average, which I think is what I like to see out of this kind of arm who certainly came in the year with well below average strike throwing ability. But the fastball, it's a really solid offering in the mid-90s. The slider is really his go-to swing and miss pitch. He'll throw a changeup and a curve on occasion. But I think that the Dodgers obviously did really well to get Ferris and Zaire Hope in the deal where they sent Michael Busch to Chicago. Ferris is a lot of fun. He's certainly moving up. And you know, I think he's certainly deserving to be in the conversation of near top 100 guys, because I think that by season's end, I wouldn't be shocked at all to see him universally in top 100s. I think that he has the stuff to be a mid-rotation starter. I think it all depends on the command and can he develop the consistent changeup.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's got that. Yeah, I think number three starter is really fair for him, but number three starter with a higher K rate. I think he's always missed a ton of bats. He always has. And looking at his first eight starts to his last eight starts, first eight starts had a 60% strike rate, last eight, 64%. So definitely ticking up here, which is really encouraging to see. Yeah, he's got some really good stuff here. So arrow is definitely pointing up here for Jaxon Ferris. Let's go back to the American League, go to the Twins with Andrew Morris. He'll be 23 later this season on September 1st. And he's been really good all season. He's at a 1.66 ERA in 76 innings, pretty split between high A Cedar Rapids and double A Wichita. And then over the last 30 days, he has a 0.67 ERA and 0.81 whip in 27 innings. Only got up 16 hits, 2 runs, 6 walks in those 27 innings with 33 strikeouts. And on the season, he's got 82 strikeouts to 15 walks. And I think if Zebby obviously is getting all the buzz right now in that system, maybe a little bit David Festa with how he debuted last month. But Andrew Morris, I think, is just flying completely under the radar. It's not flashy by any means, but fits that Twins mold. The guys that, like, this is 100% a starter's profile here. He commands his pitches. He throws strikes. The walk rate is around like 5.5-6% for his minor league career, over 161 in the third inning. So a lot to like here. Maybe he is more of the high floor, but I think there's like a decent ceiling of a mid-rotation starter here as well with Andrew Morris. So definitely a guy that is you can probably get for cheap or even go pick up depending on the depth of your dynasty league right now.
Yeah, Morris is somebody that I've long loved. I think all eyes have been on Zebby, and for good reason. Zebby Matthews has been elite, but Andrew Morris is right there with him. He doesn't walk batters. He misses bats. He's improved since going to double A. He's got a 1.17 ERA backed by a 2.55 FIP, which is pretty impressive. He's missing bats. He's commanding his pitches extremely well. Look at this profile and think, why is he not getting more love? And I haven't quite figured that out, because I think this might be the best strike throwing profile, one of the best strike throwing profiles in the minor leagues. In high A, he ran a 72% strike rate, which is absurd. And in double A, it's 66%, but still the swing and strike rates aren't overly high. Like, they are probably closer to average, but I think that he's still making it work. He's stealing called strikes, which, you know, I think is notable. And Morris just feels like the profile that can be a really solid guy that flies under the radar. He's going to get to the majors and people are like, who is this guy? But it's an interesting delivery if you go watch, where it just, it doesn't really look like it would work, but it works. Like, he's like a, I don't know, it's like a weird crossbody angle, but he still gets a lot of north-south movement in his pitches. Fastball gets to the mid-90s. He's throwing a curveball in the 70s, mid to upper 70s. He'll throw a slider. I think that's a better pitch here. It's mid-80s, get up to 88. He throws a cutter. He has everything that you want to see. Like, it's, all right, he's got a full arsenal, five pitches, commands it extremely well. He can get the velo up there. I think this is like a high probability back-end starter that nobody talks about, but I will roster him everywhere because I think this is a pretty safe major leaguer, and he's going to be a pretty good one at that.
Man, the Twins get a lot of good pitching depth right now at the major league level. Obviously, guys that are still in the minor leagues, add in Zebby and Morris to that mix. They got a pretty good wealth of pitching talent there in that system. Good problem to have for sure. All right, let's move over to the fallers here. We'll stick right in that American League Central Division. Go to the White Sox, of course. Who else to start with than the White Sox, who just have been absolutely terrible this year. And Nick Destrini played a little part in that. Had six starts with the big club with an 8.39 ERA and more walks than strikeouts during that time. 20.5% walk rate, 15.6% K rate. In those six starts, had a whip of 1.99, and I got optioned back down to AAA, and he's still been pretty bad down there in AAA as well. Over the last month, 20.2 innings, he's got a 4.35 ERA, which isn't terrible, but a 1.69 whip and 21 walks in his last 20 and two-thirds innings. So it's all falling apart for Nick Nastrini this year, who was, you know, pitching really well last year, was a sneaky guy to target in dynasty leagues due to the opening in that White Sox rotation, got a shot, and it's just not looked well. And overall this year in AAA Charlotte, 5.52 ERA, over 10 innings. So kind of all that momentum he built up last year has fallen flat on his face this year. The walk rate has just been super high this season, and it was high last year. Last year, the walk rate was 10.8%. Then you look at this year in AAA, walk rate is 12.9%. And then, as I mentioned, it was over 20% in the majors there. It was last year, I don't want to say it was a fluke, because I think the last couple of years he's been building up a little bit of momentum here. But I guess, do you still think there's any hope for Nastrini to turn it around, or do you see some larger issues here?
Yeah, I think he can. Home runs have been a major issue. It's no surprise in Charlotte. That place is a place you don't want to pitch. And I think that the White Sox may avoid some of their big starters. Obviously, Drew Thorpe skipped over AAA to go to the majors. But the bigger issue is that he has walked a tremendous amount of batters. And you look at the walk rate in AAA, quite high at 13%. The majors, being a small sample, it's 20.5% walk rate. He's at a negative 5% K minus BB in the majors, which is wild to see. But yeah, I think that the underlying issues there are possibly some ABS related things. I think that's affected a lot of pitchers in AAA, but you can't really help but notice that there's still been some issues otherwise too. So I think that Nastrini's shown flashes. Like, he, late June, he had a six scoreless inning outing, 10K, but five walks, just a weird, wacky start. But then he'll go and he walked five in his most recent. And guess what? There's no ABS in that start because the ABS is no longer in AAA. Oh, he had five walks over 4 2/3 with seven strikeouts. I don't know. I'm just fairly out on Nastrini at this point. I did think it was a good deal at the time when he came over via trade from the Dodgers, because there's an opening for him in Chicago. Yeah. He obviously hasn't held that spot. He got the chance and just couldn't hold it because of how he's pitched. But I'm not sure Nastrini's going to miss enough bats and keep enough batters off base to be successful. And that's my fear here with this profile. So yeah, I'm pretty out actually on this profile, and I'm not sure I want a lot to do with him at this point.
Yeah, I'm pretty out as well. And you look at, he even had a lower than league average BABIP too. He only had a 254 BABIP with the White Sox, which is funny to see. But for pitchers with at least 20 innings in the majors this year, he had the second highest walk rate at 20.5%, only behind Aroldis Chapman, who's at 21.2%, which I didn't realize he was that high with his walk rate right now. And then he had the lowest K minus BB rate at negative 4.9%. There's only three others with a negative K minus BB rate this year. Victor Gonzalez of the Yankees at negative 2.1, Jake Bird of the Rockies, negative 1.8, and Adam Mazur with the Padres, who's at negative 1.6 right now. And then Mitch White is at zero exactly. So yeah, definitely one of the worst pitchers this year. So yeah, I'm not like 100% out, but yeah, I'm definitely not in at all on the streaming right now. And I'm similar to this next guy who, and we're not picking on the White Sox, I swear to God, but this is how it works out here. Another White Sox arm with Jake Eater, who has been pitching pretty poorly all season. ERA over 5 for AA Birmingham. And then if you look over the last 30 days for Jake Eater, he has a 7.54 ERA and 1.68 whip across 22 and two-thirds innings. He's not really walking a ton of guys. He has 9 walks over the span, 28 strikeouts, but he's gotten too hittable. And then we saw him last year out in the AFL, did not look good there, was walking a ton out in the AFL last year, but that's not really out of the norm. People, you know, working on stuff out there at times, but you know, this year the walk rate's under 10%, so it's not like it's a major issue, but he's just way too hittable right now. And you know, I'm just out. There's not a lot to like here with Eater. I know he still seems to be a buzzy name, Chris, when I just watch him pitch, and you know, I don't see a guy that I want to invest in. But I don't. Maybe you disagree. But where are you at on Jake Eater right now?
I just think his fastball is just below average, and even with, I don't say it's decent velo. Like the velo is fine with Eater, but the shape is just not good, honestly. And I think that's one of the reasons that he is so hittable. And it's interesting to look at this profile and see what is going on here. And actually, he's pitching in the Southern League, and the Southern League has been a very pitcher friendly environment where the run environment's down more than ever. It's really interesting. I don't really know exactly. I think that he had those moments in Miami where he looked like he was really going to break out, especially in 2021, where he was so good. And I just don't think the fastball is there where it's really going to work. I think the slider's good. I think slider's above average or better pitch. But I think the fastball is ultimately below average. Changeup's fine. I think the strike throwing's inconsistent, which can be an issue. But at the end of the day, I think that he's going to just have to show consistency with the strike throwing. And if he can do that, then maybe he can be a starter, but I'm not sure the command is there. And I'm not sure he can make it work with just the slider being a really good pitch. Cause I don't really buy the fastball. I think the changeup is below average, honestly. So yeah, I'm not super in either.
Yeah. The slider is probably a plus pitch, but the other two are probably 45 grade offerings right now. And maybe even 40s. And with one of those being the fastball, I can't get behind anybody with a below average fastball. I just can't do it unless the rest of the arsenal is really good. And yeah, he's got the slider, but he doesn't really fall into that mold where the rest of the arsenal is really good, just a one pitch. So yeah, I'm pretty out on Jake Eater right now. Next two names here, also from the same org, not the White Sox. We're done with the White Sox, but let's go over to the San Francisco Giants. First name here, Mason Black, another guy that's got a little bit of major league time. This earlier this season with the Giants, had 14 and a third innings with an 8.79 ERA there and a 1.95 whip. Obviously didn't really do well there, but has been pretty bad in AAA as well. Started out the season pretty solidly, but lately it's gone down, hence the reason why he's being discussed as a faller right now. He's over the last 30 days in AAA. He's allowed 22 runs in 15 and two-thirds innings. That equates to a 12.64 ERA and a 2.36 WHIP, 17 strikeouts to 11 walks, also has 6 home runs allowed. And again, wasn't really that impressive in his major league stint either. The four-seamer, it's around 92. That was a sinker as well. Actually threw a sweeper the most during his time with San Fran, but was not missing bats with only a 10.3% whiff rate. Also has a mid-80s slider and a mid-80s changeup. Those two he barely ever uses. Only 8% combined on those two, at least in the majors. Sweeper, four-seamer, and sinker combined had 92%. And it's just pretty lackluster. Even with him throwing a sinker, doesn't get a lot of ground balls at all. Only had a 28.8% ground ball rate in his time in the major leagues there. So I've never been a huge Mason Black guy. The walk rate's always been a little bit higher. I don't think he's going to be a big bat misser either. So I was never super high on him, even when he was trending upward last year. So again, I'm not, maybe I am 100% out on Black. I don't see a fantasy viable starter here, but I don't know. He's got a good frame though. He's got a starter's frame. I'll give him that. But outside of that, at least I'm not seeing a lot to like here with Black. But what are your thoughts here, Chris?
Yeah, I think that the same concerns that we saw last year with walk rate and such have bitten him a bit. He did show a lot of positives, though, in 2023. Leading up to this year, he was able to throw a lot of innings, which was substantial. And yep. He pitched between AA and AAA and had good results. And beating the PCL is hard to do, and he did that to an extent last year. But you're right, it's not a heavy ground ball profile, despite him throwing a sinker, and he's walked a lot of guys. So this year, the walk rate's actually down, which is interesting. Last year in AAA, it was a 12% walk rate. This year, a 10.6% walk rate. And then the majors, it was sub 10%. And it's not a huge sample, but he didn't miss any bats in his 14 innings in the majors either. So that's obviously something of note, is that can he miss enough bats with this arsenal to make it work? I think the fastballs are fine. Probably not going to be a huge bat missing pitch. But then the slider is probably his go-to swing and miss pitch. But you know, I'm not sure there's enough here for him to be a consistently high strikeout guy, that kind of like we've seen in the minors. And 26% in AAA. It was 28% last year in AAA. I guess he settles in the lower 20s in the majors, just given the kind of arsenal and how major league hitters are. But at the end of the day, I think that Black may fit a bullpen role a little better. Maybe his stuff plays up a bit, slider plays up a bit in a smaller stint. But right now, I think they're going to give him every bit of run as a starter that they can and hope that it pans out. Obviously, the hitting environment in AAA right now for the PCL especially, not favorable at all for pitchers. So he's getting no favors by sitting there in the PCL right now, but I'm not really in on Mason Black right now.
Yep. Same here. Next guy, Carson Wisenhunt, who been struggling mightily in AAA this year. 5.79 ERA in 73 innings with a 1.63 whip. He hasn't really been a lot worse over the last month, but 5.53 and 1.70 in 27 and two-thirds innings over the last month. He just hasn't been the same pitcher, Chris, than that he was early last year. Wisenhunt was a big riser last year. Had a 2.45 ERA between low A, high A, and double A, 16 starts total, 1.02 whip, 83 strikeouts, 23 walks, and 58 and two-thirds innings. But then he missed the last month and a half of the season or so with an elbow sprain, and he was said to be 100% healthy coming in the spring this year, so I thought that was behind him. And maybe it is. Maybe I'm reading too much into that, but he just has been a completely different pitcher since that injury and has been pretty poor all year. And yeah, like you mentioned, PCL plays into that a little bit here, but you can't fully take away from how poor he's pitched this year. And it was already, maybe not a risky profile, it's not the right term, but a guy that he's got a solid fastball and a really good changeup, probably one of the better changeups in the minor leagues. And a guy that's always never had a big walk rate issue, different than a lot of the other names we talked about so far in this episode, but just hasn't established a legitimate breaking ball yet. So it's really been fastball changeup predominantly, and that's risky. I don't really like to invest too heavily in guys that don't have at least some resemblance of a breaking ball. I don't know. I'm not sure where I want to rank Wisden Hunt right now. I still like him a little bit. You know, obviously, he's got two pretty good pitches there with the fastball and a changeup especially, but he's just a hard one to rank right now. What do you think right now of Wisden Hunt, Chris?
Yeah, he's pretty much just sinker changeup, and the changeup's obviously good. I think the changeup is one of the better changeups in baseball. It has a 27% swing and strike rate on it right now, which is elite. 39% CSW on that pitch, very good. So you look at it, has it checks all the boxes that you want to see, and you know, a really good offering. But he's not throwing enough sliders. Like, I think the slider has some potential, but he's not missing a ton of bats on it. His sinker doesn't miss bats either, which is okay. Like, we're sitting here now and he's got a 93 mile an hour sinker that he's going to have to induce ground balls with. And I think that the changeup heavy approach can lead to some inconsistencies, where if you don't have the feel for the changeup one day, then, you know, you're not going to get the results. Ultimately, I think that Wisden Hunt still can settle in as a, you know, starting pitcher back in SP4-5 type. And I think that there probably are better days ahead for him. But right now, still walking a lot of guys, be it AAA, ABS, curious how that goes post ABS as we get some numbers now where it's just challenge system. The strike rate is pretty solid. It's league average, which is, you know, pretty solid, I'd say. But you look and the bat missing is inconsistent start to start. So I think Wisden Hunt's fine. I think if you know what you're getting with him, then that's good. But I'm not expecting like a high-end starting pitcher or anything of that nature. So if you go into it with the expectations, you get a starting pitcher with a really good changeup that could be a SP5 type, then yeah, you ought to be happy. But I think that a lot of people want him to be much more, and you know, I'm not sure that he's going to be.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely there with you. Last name here, Rhett Lauder, who I think was probably looking at the names here, actually, absolutely, I can say he was the highest ranked pitcher of any name we've talked about tonight overall entering the season, and started out pretty good. He started off the year in high A. He was drafted last year, didn't pitch in the minor leagues last year after a dominant season at Wake Forest to close out his collegiate career. Then obviously was a top 10 pick in last summer's draft. Had five starts with high A Dayton. Had a 2.49 ERA and 0.95 WHIP in those five starts, but just has not had the same success since getting the bump to AA Chattanooga. 6.85 ERA in 10 starts with a 1.64 WHIP. Strikeout to walk ratio is still pretty solid. 48 strikeouts to 11 walks, so he's only walking 5.5%. K rate is underwhelming for kind of a top pitching prospect. 23.9%. In 43 1/3 innings. And you know, some of the people I've talked to that have seen him live this year just haven't, they didn't say poor things about him, but just were underwhelmed, I think is the best way to describe it here. A guy that is more, was never really flashy, more high floor, but with a solid ceiling as well. Good three pitch mix, obviously good command and control as well. But Chris, what are you making of the struggles we've seen from Rhett Lauder here with AA Chattanooga? Where are you valuing him right now?
Yeah, he's the type that I think is going to be have some ups and downs as he moves up. But at the end of the day, like, I think that there's a consistent enough arsenal for him to still be a high floor type. He throws strikes at a heavy clip, which obviously is important. Running a 68% strikeout rate between both levels, really low walk rate. We have seen the strikeouts tick down since the move to AA, and the swing and strike rate is down about 2 percentage points from 16.5 to 14.5 from high A to double A. So that's obviously worth noting. It's another one where the changeup's really good, but Lauder does have a really good slider. So that's obviously of note. And the fastball, I think, is the question. Like, how does the fastball play? The velo's been up and down some this year, and he's had those bumps in the road where he's had some really ugly starts in Double A that we hadn't seen in High A. And again, that's, you know, the nature of moving to a higher level with better hitters. But he's also shown he struck out 11 in one start over six innings, followed up the next start, struck out one, but over five scoreless. So just really interesting kind of profile right now that we're looking at with Lauder. I think that he is one that's going to come around and be fine. You know, he's not the flashiest. I don't think he ever has been. And I think that's where, oh, the Reds took him seventh overall. Like, this is a top pitching prospect. But I think that if you have the expectation, again, that Lauder is a SP3, SP4 type, then I think that you'll end up being happy in the long run. I think that he could move quick. I think that the fastball does develop. I think that's a major step for him. If he can take the next step forward with his fastball that right now is lagging behind the slider and changeup, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm still pretty in on Lauder. I think maybe ranked him a bit too highly earlier in the season, but this is still, he's still a top 100 guy for me. I'm not going to drop him out of my top 100. I think he's still got a really good higher floor, SP3 upside, guy that could settle in behind, you know, Lodolo and Green, kind of be in that 3-4 spot along with Andrew Abbott. I think that's where he ends up, you know, kind of in that 3-4 for Cincinnati. And I think I would, if the perceived value is dropped, which I think it has, I'd be okay kicking the tires and trying to buy low here. I think there's still a pretty good major league starter and a guy that's you could probably get for a little bit of a discount right now. But that's going to wrap us up. Thanks to everyone for tuning in again this episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Make sure you check out everything going on over at RotoBaller. Check out thedynastydego.com, toolshedfantasy.com for more work from each of us. And we will see you again later this week. But until then, everyone take care.
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall Credit Card Bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.